In Jeremiah chapter 29, we see the prophet Jeremiah writing a letter to the people of Israel who are in captivity in the land of Babylon. Because the people were no longer living in their own land, the land of Israel, they were discouraged, they were depressed, they were losing hope. They wondered if God still had a plan for them. And so Jeremiah writes this letter as a letter of encouragement. And look at verse 1. We're going to see why the people were carried away as captives. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. The people were carried away captive because they had turned away from the Lord their God. They began to serve idols. And even though the Lord sent many prophets to warn them to turn back to Him, they refused to listen. They refused to do what God said. And so God caused them to be carried away as captives. Look down at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. It was God's plan for them at this time to be carried away as a captive into the land of Babylon. And there's an important lesson for all of us here at this point. And that lesson is this: we cannot disobey God and expect anything to work out for good in our lives. When we disobey God, when we turn away from God, there will be a price to pay. There will be a judgment to pay. And the people were paying the price for turning away from God and turning to idols. In Jeremiah chapter 29, in the next few verses, we're going to find three principles that will be a great help to those we are recognizing tonight, to our graduates, but also to all of us. Three principles that will be a great deal of help for us all. And we see the first one in verses 5 and 6. So let me go back and read verse 4 again, though. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Notice what the Lord says: build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. The first principle is this: be prepared. Be prepared for what exactly? Be prepared for a long stay. Be prepared for a long stay. God told the people of Israel to be prepared for a long stay in Jerusalem and in Babylon. In fact, we're going to find out that that stay would last 70 years. They would not be going home anytime soon. They were to build homes to live in, plant gardens and fruit trees to eat from. They were to marry and to have children, give their children to be married, and see grandchildren born. Some of the people who were taken exile to Babylon would never see their homeland again. They would die in the land of Babylon. They were in exile because that was God's plan for them. And for us, the application is this: we may have a long stay in the circumstances where God's plan leads us. So for us, we need to be patient. We need to trust in Him. We need to wait on Him. We are not always brought into difficult, hard, we would say bad circumstances because of our disobedience. Sometimes that's God's plan to refine us and to mold us into what He wants us to be. But when we do find ourselves in those circumstances, we need to be patient and wait on the Lord. And so the first principle is that. The first principle is to be prepared. Be prepared for a long stay. The second principle is this: be seeking. And that's in verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Be seeking what exactly? Be seeking the welfare of their captors. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us, does it? To seek the welfare of your enemy, to seek the welfare of the very ones who brought you into captivity, but that's what the Lord tells them to do. Why would God tell the people of Israel to pray for the welfare, to pray for the peace of their captors in the place where they were taken into captivity? He gives us the answer: because the peace and the welfare of their captors and the city of their captivity would mean their own peace. It would mean their own welfare. And so, for us, as you go off to college, where you may have professors, we don't agree with everything that they might say, where there are things that probably will be against what you've been brought up to believe, what do you do in those situations? Pray. You pray for your instructors. You pray for your school. You pray for your fellow students. When you're in a job situation later on, maybe sooner than later, what do? You pray for your boss. You pray for your fellow workers. We're to pray for our nation, and we're to pray for our fellow citizens. Why? Because in the welfare and the peace of our fellow citizens, of our nation, of our city, of our town, of our fellow workers and bosses and instructors and students, in their welfare and their peace, we find our own welfare and peace as well. So we're to pray for those around us. We're to pray for them that they will have peace. Verses number 8 and 9, the third principle is be careful. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Be careful of what exactly? Be careful of whom you listen to. Be careful whom you listen to. Be careful whom you place yourself under the authority of. Because there are voices out there who are not crying truth. There are voices out there who are crying the things that are false. There were false prophets who were giving the people false hope. They claimed to speak the truth. They claimed to speak for God, but they didn't. There's an example in the previous chapter, in chapter 28, verses 10 and 11, a prophet named Hananiah. And if you know the story of Jeremiah and all that he went through, you probably remember the prophet Hananiah. Verse 10 says, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. There was a prophet who said, oh no, it's not going to be long. You're going to be coming back very soon. In fact, in 2 years, you'll be back in your homeland, back where you belong. But God's message was no. You build homes, you settle down, you plant gardens, you plant vineyards, you marry, you give your children to be married, you have grandchildren, because you're going to be in the land of Babylon a long time. And here was a false prophet crying out untruth. And God is warning his people to be careful. Be careful who you listen to. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 and 17 is another example. Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, yet ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall not come upon you. But they were speaking false words. They're saying, go ahead and do what you want to do. Go ahead and live your life the way you want to. No evil will come upon you. Be careful about surrounding yourself with people who say what you want to hear, This is not original with me, but I wrote this down because I thought this was so good. You can't believe yourself out of a situation that you have behaved yourself into. You get that? You can't believe yourself out of a situation that you have behaved yourself into. The people of Israel had behaved themselves in this situation where they were in exile for 70 years. And the false teachers were saying, oh, don't worry. It's not going to be that long. You're going to be back where you belong. They were saying what the people wanted to hear. But belief in a false hope is not going to get you anywhere. Be careful who you listen to, because there are voices out there in this world that claim to say the truth, and it's not the truth. And they claim to speak for God, and they're not speaking for God. And so that applies when you're going off to college somewhere, or you're going off to a job, or when you get old enough, young people, and you're choosing a church to be a part of. Be careful that you choose a church where you know the truth of God's word is being taught. And it's not just what the people want to hear. We need to hear God's truth. Be careful who you listen to. Look at verses 11 through 14 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And really, I should have read verse 10 too, so I wrote down the wrong one. So let me start again and read verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Verse 11 is a verse that we hear often during the graduation season. And it's a verse that a lot of graduates take as their life verse. And it's a good verse, but you need to understand exactly what this verse is saying. This verse is not saying that God has a plan for you that will always be happy and that will always bring you prosperity. That is not what this verse is saying, because that was not God's plan for God's people at this time. His plan for his people was to endure exile for 70 years. To endure that difficult, that hard, that tragic situation, circumstance for 70 years. God does have a plan. God has a plan for your life. And his plan might include hard, difficult, even tragic circumstances. But rest assured, no matter what the circumstances you face in this life, God's thoughts towards you are not for evil. He doesn't desire to bring evil into your life. His thoughts are for your peace. And whatever God allows into your life will ultimately work his good and bring peace and hope. Even though you might have to settle down and live with a hard, difficult, even tragic circumstance for a time. Going through my devotions, I came across some verses that were so familiar. And you know how God's word is, it's living. And so every time we read it, we see something new. We learn something new. And so these are very familiar verses, but I want you to look at Genesis chapter 2 because it goes along with what I want to leave you with in conclusion here. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, "And the Lord God took the man," it was Adam, "and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we know that God was testing Adam. God was testing Adam's obedience. Would Adam obey God, or would Adam choose to go his own way? But have you ever thought about this? Why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why that tree? Why not the tree of life? Why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, I think one reason is because God is the only one who knows what is good for man and what is evil for man. And this test for Adam was, yes, obedience, but it was a test. Do you believe that God really knows what's good for you? Do you really believe that God knows what's bad for you? And will you trust God? Will you trust Him to determine what's good and what's bad? Or will you choose to determine what's good and what's bad for yourself? And we know what Adam chose. Adam chose to decide that for himself. But we all have that same choice to make, don't we? Will we trust God to determine what's good for our lives, what's bad for our lives? Or will we choose to determine that ourselves? And so, to apply that to what we're looking at here tonight, will we choose to trust God's plan for our lives? Young people, will you choose to trust the plan that God has for your life, no matter where that plan leads you? It might lead you into a situation that is uncomfortable, that is difficult, that is hard, but will you trust God for the plan He has for your life? Will you trust that He knows what's best, that He knows what's good, that He knows what's bad, and that whatever He allows, whatever He does, it will bring ultimately His goal of peace, His goal in your life? Will you trust God's plan, or will you choose your own plan? That's really what it comes down to. And my prayer for our young people, my prayer for our graduates, is that they will trust God and trust His plan for their lives. And I can tell you, I feel like David when he says, I have been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I can tell you this, I followed the Lord for a long time now, not as long as some of you saints, but for a long time. And I can say that God has been faithful, and I've never been forsaken by the Lord. He's taken care of all my needs. And if you'll follow the Lord, if you'll trust in His plan, He'll lead you, and He'll provide for your needs as well. And He'll use you to do something great for His kingdom. Will you choose God's plan, or will you choose your own plan? My prayer is that you'll choose His plan for your life.